Good morning and welcome to worship on this Easter Sunday, the 17th of April. It's a delight to see you all, folks, and to see folks still coming in. Considering that I know a lot of folks get away this weekend, it's a joy to see all of you who are present with us here in our meeting house. But we do welcome those who are watching at home. We welcome those who are watching from the North Coast. I was asked to put that in by somebody who would be there this weekend. Or people who are watching anywhere else, and that's still one of the things that amazes me, is when we hear folks who are sometimes watching from all sorts of locations that we wouldn't necessarily expect. So wherever you're watching from or listening from today, we're delighted to have you sharing with us on this Easter celebration. Just a few announcements, folks. Most of them have been up on the screen. I trust that you've taken those in, you've seen those. Realize that the latest pictures of the link hadn't appeared, but we've been through those a couple of times, so you can see the great progress that's coming on there. It's great to finally see that roof beginning to be put into place there. Folks, could I thank all who have been involved in our Holy Week services over the course of this week on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Any of you who have been here for those services, I know have really enjoyed and benefited from those. Really interesting evening with Ziggy Rogoff. If you missed that, folks, you missed a treat on Wednesday night. Thanks to Marty for his marvelous message on Thursday. Thanks to all our musicians and singers, to our audiovisual team as well for their help throughout this week. Thank you, and I hope you saw it up there, but thank you, and never take it for granted, folks, the generous giving here in Railway Street, and particularly your giving to those two special appeals that ran one into another. As you hopefully saw, the total for Afghanistan, just a little short of £4,000, including gift aid. That was great. Total for Ukraine today at £6,688. We expect that to rise still further. Which means that close to £11,000, folks, has been given between those two appeals. And for a church of our size, that is marvellous, folks. Thank you for that giving to that. In regards to the Balmoral show, folks, need to say this because I'll not be here next week to say it, but anyone else who'd be interested in helping serve in the stand at some point, either on the Wednesday, the Thursday, the Friday, or the Saturday. If you haven't already spoken to me about that, please speak to me about that today. And then please note that training night on the 25th of April up in Legacurry Presbyterian. So if you'd like to help out in the Balmoral show, if you just want to know more about what's involved in that, speak to me afterwards as well. Finally, Heidi and Hannah and myself, we're all off during this incoming week. If anyone needs any pastoral assistance during the course of this week, then contact our clerk of session, Stephen Johnson. Or if you're unable to get Stephen, phone the man's landline. I've changed the message there, folks, so it gives the details of the minister on call. Andrew Faulkner's on call right up until Thursday of this incoming week. And then over the course of the weekend, it's a bit stuck. So it's George McClelland who's covering that weekend. George will be known to quite a number of you, a former member of Railway Street. But you can get those details from Stephen or from the man's landline. Let's worship God on this Easter Sunday morning. Brothers and sisters in Christ, on this most holy day when our Savior Jesus Christ passed from death to life, we gather with the church throughout the world in praise and prayer. We recall Christ's death and resurrection. We share Christ's triumph over sin and death. And with invincible hope, we await Christ's coming again. Hear the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let us pray. Glorious Lord of life, by the mighty resurrection of your Son, you overcame the old order of sin and death to make all things new in him. Grant that we who celebrate with joy Christ rising from the dead may be raised from the death of sin to the life of righteousness through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let's continue in that theme of praise and adoration as we join together to sing, beginning with Forever You. What are we singing on? Forever You Are. Forever, yep, he knows, as long as he knows. Let's stand as we worship God together. Folks, that's how you know it's definitely live if you're watching at home, because both myself and Alan have already lost our places. If this was pre-recorded, there's no way Alan would have allowed those mistakes to stay in, because when we used to pre-record the services, he used to try and fix my mistakes when he was editing, and he used to say, Alan, leave them in so they know it's me. So you know without a doubt that it's definitely live this morning. Thanks to Adam, thanks to our musicians, and to Lydia for leading us. We're going to have the first of our readings this morning. Folks, it's from Matthew's Gospel, the beginning of Matthew chapter 28. And at very short notice, Heidi, and I mean really short notice, Heidi's going to come and read this for us. Thanks, Heidi.
It's Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'"
Thanks, Heidi. Somebody got the hiccups down there, have they? Oh, dear. Dear, dear. Folks, if you weren't with us on Friday, then let me give you a very, very brief recap so you understand where we have come from to today. At our Good Friday service, we were thinking about some of the old things that are now gone as a result of Christ's death and resurrection. We were seeing on Friday night how previously humanity was held captive by sin, and sin led to death. The old way always led to death. We saw how sin separates us from God, and we saw how we have, go back to that one, thanks, Andrew, we saw that we have no access. No access. There was no way for us to come to God. And in the temple, there was that huge curtain that nobody could pass except the high priest, and that once a year. But the death of Jesus Christ on the cross changed that. As Jesus died on the cross, Mark and Matthew and Luke all tell us the temple curtain was torn from top to bottom, signifying that the way was now open, and that curse of sin and death has been overcome. We now have freedom from sin through Christ, freedom from death, and we have free access to God. And so if Good Friday speaks to us about how the old is gone, then this day, Easter morning, speaks to us of how the new has come. And so as we celebrate Easter, we are celebrating that something new has happened. Life on this world changed forever on that first Easter morning. Why? Because as we've just heard, that tomb was empty. When the women went to the tomb was empty.
and they received that message that Jesus was not there. He had risen, just as he had told them. Jesus was risen with new life.
So our second Bible reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 11. It's on page 1161 of the Pew Bibles. Corinthians 5, verse 11. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who should live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Thanks, Hannah. So we can receive new life. Another of the new things that we can know because of Easter is that we are called to accept a new Lord. A new Lord. The fact that Jesus was risen from the dead proves that he is God's Son. The fact that he rose from the dead proves that God had accepted his sacrifice for sin, that the curse of sin has been overcome, and now the curse of death has been overcome. But it's not enough to just celebrate the facts of Easter. If we're going to experience that new life, if we're going to be a new creation, we need to recognize that comes only through Jesus Christ, and that means we have to recognize a new Lord. What is a Lord? What is a Lord? A Lord is someone who has authority or control or power over others. Somebody has authority or control or power over others. Why do we accept Jesus as our Lord? Because we know that he is God. Because he is the one who has made the world and everything in it. He is the one who gave his life for us on the cross, who has risen from the grave. What does it mean to recognize that Jesus is Lord? Well, who is this? Who's that? Somebody shout out. The Queen. That's the Queen. Now, if the Queen was to come to visit, how would you act? The Queen came into your school or came into your house, would you just sit there with your feet up and say, all right, Liz, how's it going? Would you do that? No, of course you wouldn't. We all know that is not how you behave in front of the Queen. We would get out of our chair, we would stand up, and then we would bow, or we would curtsy, and we would address her not as Elizabeth or Liz. What would we call her? Your Majesty or Ma'am. Because she's the Queen. Because she has been put in that position by God. She's been given authority over her subjects in the United Kingdom. And so we would honor her. We would respect her. We would obey her. We would seek to serve her.
Well, the Bible says that Jesus is Lord, that he is the Lord of lords, that he's not just king, he's the King of kings. And even the queen understands that Jesus is her Lord, that Jesus has authority over her, that he is so much greater than her. And in her life, she has sought to serve her Lord. And so, folks, when we put our trust in Jesus, when we ask him to forgive us, we also have to accept Jesus as our Lord, not just as our Savior, not just the one who saves us from sin. We're all happy to be saved from sin. But we've also got to accept him as our Lord. You can't have one without the other, although a lot of people think you can. We've got to accept him as Lord. That means he's got to become the one number one person in our life. He's the one that we bow down to. He's the one that we serve. He's the one that we live for. You know, when Thomas met Jesus after Jesus had been risen from the dead, and Thomas didn't originally believe the other disciples until Jesus appeared to him. And when Jesus appeared to him, Thomas fell down before Jesus and said, "My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God." Thomas received that new life. He accepted Jesus as his Lord. And he spent the rest of his life serving and following Jesus and telling others about Jesus. How many lords can you have? You can only have one Lord. If you truly understand what it means to have a Lord, you can only serve and obey one Lord. And so we have to decide who's going to be Lord of our life. Is it going to be the Lord Jesus, or is it going to be someone or something else, one of those other idols that we can all waste so much time following and worshiping? We can only have one Lord. Jesus died and rose again. He offers us new life. He is the Son of God, and now he reigns in heaven at God the Father's right-hand side. He is Lord of all, and he needs to be accepted as our Lord too. So let me ask you another question. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Is Jesus Lord of your life? And let me add to that and add another question to it. Would people know, looking at your life from day to day, that Jesus is your Lord? Because that follows in to the last thing we want to think about in a couple of moments. But before we do that, folks, we want to pray together. And it seemed to me it was important today that we prayed for Jerusalem, and that we prayed for the land of Israel. There's an increasing spiral of violence in Israel and West Bank in recent days. You'll not see a lot of reporting of that on the news. Still very much focused on Ukraine and Partygate. But this year sees an unusual situation where Easter and Passover and Ramadan are all falling in the same month. That greatly increases the temperature and tension in Jerusalem, which is a special city to all three of those faiths. There was sadly little peace in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. There remains little today. Many Palestinians have been injured in clashes with Israeli police at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in Jerusalem. The Israeli police had to enter the site after they came under attack from fireworks and stones and other objects. And of course, that flashpoint site is deeply important to Muslims and Jews. It has that Al-Aqsa Mosque, it has the Dome of the Rock, and then the Western Wall, which the Jews know is the last remaining part of the Jewish temple, is there. They gather to worship there. And so it's at the heart of competing claims. And tensions have been soaring recently. There have been deadly attacks in Israel that have left 12 Israelis, 2 Ukrainians dead, and at least 20 Palestinian deaths during Israeli raids in the West Bank. Psalm 122 says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity." Let's pray together now. Our Father, we read in Luke's gospel that as your Son, the Lord Jesus, approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." Father, in that day, Jesus foresaw the violence and destruction that would overtake Jerusalem. And to this day, we still see that violence and bloodshed in that city.
So, Lord, today we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, peace in the Holy Land. We're sad to see that violence and suffering as men, women, and children are injured and killed on both sides of the conflict. We don't understand why it has to be this way, but we pray for this current cycle of violence that begets more violence to cease. We pray for your mercy on this city and the land of Israel. We pray for everyone involved, for governments and peoples, for militants and terrorists, for you to work. We pray for your kingdom to come and to rule over the hearts of people in that land. May you miraculously unveil the eyes of the people to see you, Lord Jesus, as the Prince of Peace. May Israeli and Palestinian alike have their eyes open to their need for Jesus and enter into a relationship with him, and through that find true peace and reconciliation with each other. May all searching end as you fill them with complete love and peace. Hear our prayer, which we offer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now that we've received new life and we've accepted a new Lord, third new thing I want us to think about this morning is that we are called to turn over a new leaf. We're called to turn over a new leaf. What does this mean? Well, often you'll hear people use an expression like this. Did you hear about Michael? He's turned over a new leaf. He's given up supporting Southampton. He's realized that it's pointless. It always ends in disappointment. He's turned over a new leaf, and now he's going to support Liverpool. Oh, dear me. To turn over a new leaf means to leave behind old habits and behaviors. It means to make a fresh start. To make a fresh start. Now, we normally assume that when we talk about turning over a new leaf, it refers to the leaf of a tree. And I was thinking about this during the week, and I thought, you know, that really doesn't make any sense at all. To turn over a new leaf, how could that have anything to do with a leaf of a tree? So I went on Google to do a bit of research, and I discovered, yep, it's not to do with a leaf of a tree. It's actually referring to the page or the leaf of a book. It's referring to the page of a book. So imagine that you keep a diary and you're writing in your diary. You can't change the past. You can't change what you have already written. However, you can change what you will do in the future and what you will write in the coming pages. And so just as the next page in the book is new and fresh, so is your future now that you know new life and accepted Jesus as Lord. We're able to turn over a new leaf and to start afresh and write a new story. As followers of Jesus, we're called to turn over a new leaf. It's not enough to say we believe in Jesus. If you've received new life from Jesus, if we've become a new creation, if we've accepted Jesus as Lord, then we cannot live as we did before. We have to change our ways. We have to make a fresh start. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 5, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, that is Jesus, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." The evidence that you and I are truly a new creation is that you live your life for Jesus Christ and not yourself. And that means there will be changes that will come to your life that others will see. That means our lives are meant to increasingly look like Jesus' life. Turning over a new leaf means we leave behind old sinful patterns and we seek to live like Jesus. Paul, when he wrote to a group of Christians in the city of Ephesus, these are some of the things he called those people to do. This is what it meant for them to turn over a new leaf. He said, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need.
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We're to turn over a new leaf. There's a new way of life we are called to lead. And Paul's own life demonstrated what we've been speaking about, because Paul received new life. He experienced a new start. At one time, Paul had been an angry and violent man. He was there whenever the Christian Stephen was stoned to death. He was there, we're told, holding the coats of those who were doing that. And Paul made it his mission to try and destroy the church of Jesus. He went from house to house, arresting followers of Jesus. He put them in prison, and he was there casting his vote against them when some of them were put to death. And then one day, on his way to the city of Damascus to do in Damascus what he'd been doing in Jerusalem, Jesus stopped Paul in his tracks. There was a blinding light. Paul fell. And he heard Jesus speaking to him, telling him to stop persecuting him. And his life was changed in that moment. He realized that what he'd been doing was wrong, that Jesus was Lord. He asked forgiveness for what he'd been doing. He received new life, and he accepted Jesus as his Lord. And from that moment on, he lived for Jesus. Each and every day, he did everything he could to serve Jesus. He turned over a new leaf. And Jesus chose Paul to become a missionary, to go and to share the good news of Jesus with others. And he spent the rest of his life traveling to many different places, telling people about Jesus and helping them to become a new creation as well. And he wrote so much of the New Testament, and in it we find his letters to his fellow missionaries and friends and his letters to those churches that he established. Paul became a new creation. The old was gone. The new had come. He received new life. He had a new Lord. He turned over a new leaf. And it means the same for us. In Jesus, our life has a new purpose, revolving around following him and playing our part in his mission to the world. Because we've received new life and follow a new Lord, we want to share that life-changing good news with others. Especially at Easter. Just last week, the golfing world heard from someone who knows what it is to be a new creation in Christ. This is the new U.S. Masters champion, Scotty Scheffler. And in an interview after his victory at Augusta, he took the opportunity to bear witness to Jesus. And he said his identity is in Christ, not in his golfing accomplishment. And he said this: the reason he plays golf is because I'm trying to glorify God and all he's done in my life. I love this. This is the sort of thing that makes the BBC so nervous. They cannot cope with this when sports people start to speak about Jesus. And he added, for me, my identity isn't a golf score. There's a man who's received new life in Jesus. There is someone who has accepted a new Lord. There is someone who has turned over a new leaf. There is someone who lives their life and plays their golf to bear witness to the difference that Jesus has made to them. So as we celebrate Easter, as we celebrate the new life that Jesus knew as he was raised from the dead, let us remember, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. In Jesus, we receive new life, eternal life. Have you received that life? We accept him as our new Lord, and we're called to make Jesus number one and to love and to serve him. Is he your Lord this morning? Can you say that hand on heart that Jesus is your Lord? If you can't, you need to sort that out today, folks. And we're called to turn over a new leaf, to live life as Jesus wants us to live it, to serve him day by day, to share this message of new life with others. Have you turned over that new leaf? We're going to pray together. We're going to do it slightly differently. If you were here on Friday night, be a bit like that. Rather than simply me pray, I'm going to lead us in prayer. The words are going to come up on the screen. If it's in yellow, I'm saying it. If it's in white, I want you all to say it together. So can we go to that, folks? Lovely. So let you keep your seats, but let's follow along as we pray together, as we think through some of these things that we've been thinking about together. Christ died for all in order that they who are alive may live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Let's say together, thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If then any are in Christ, they are a new creation. The former things have passed away. Behold, they are made new. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give enlightenment concerning the knowledge of the glory of God, shining in the face of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Walk then as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. And test what is well-pleasing to God. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. For if we live, we live to the Lord, or if we die, we die to the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. You were buried together with Christ in baptism, and in him also you rose again through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's give the glory to God. Let's give the glory to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Invite the band up as they lead us in our final hymn. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Are there any boys and girls about who didn't come down? There's some eggs up here. Please come and take one. I'll be checking on the way out to make sure that you're under 16, folks. But do please come up and get one of those. As Christ burst forth from the tomb, may new life burst forth from us and show itself in acts of love and healing to a hurting world. And may that same Christ who lives forever and is the source of our new life keep your hearts rejoicing and grant you peace this day and always. Let the Lord's people say together, and now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.